This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Fox Sports Knoxville. This is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to. Places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios this Wednesday, October 27th. 3 and Out starts now. Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman. Good morning, boys.
Hello.
Dynamite drop in, Dave. Dynamite drop in.
Turn me up, Hickman.
I need the snare in my headphones. Don't turn me down, though. That'd be weird. How are we doing, guys? Everybody doing all right? Did you turn me down?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, don't turn me down. Oh, you punk. I got weird ears, man. I can just tell immediately.
I forgot.
It's okay. Which slider was which? Is that what you did?
Yeah, I'm used to running the board with Russell, you know.
Oh, that side, this side type stuff?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, if he said turn... Never mind. It really doesn't matter. How about my Braves, boys? How about them?
They won the game.
6-2. It did not come without a price, unfortunately.
What's the price?
Somebody get hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, pitcher Charlie Morton takes a comebacker off the leg. Broken fibula. His World Series is over.
Well, he's their ace, right?
Why you got to ask me these tough questions right off the jump like that?
So, I mean,
I don't know.
They might not have even had to see him pitch again, right?
Let's see here what we got. We got 2 1/3 innings pitched. He gave up one hit, 3 strikeouts, no runs.
Well, if he started game one of the World Series, yeah, he's probably their ace. And I have heard a lot about him. Despite keeping up with the Braves, so I'd say he's their ace.
Yeah, I'd say so. Definitely probably the ace.
So now you're going to want to probably wrap this series up in 5 or 6.
Yeah, yeah. That, no, I mean, why not 4? Just
yeah, just sweep them.
Just go for the clean sweep.
Well, did the Astros play their ace? Because he certainly did not look like it.
You're asking me all these baseball questions like I should probably know what they are.
I know baseball. I know all the baseballs.
You, yeah, that's why I tell people that about you all the time. Oh, yeah, it's Dave, big baseball guy. Game 2 tonight. What time is that first pitch, Dave?
8:09.
8:09.
Coverage also on Fox. Billy Williford did send me the parlay.
The parlay?
If you had every single Braves batter getting a hit.
Oh, God. What was that? What were the odds on that one?
Oh, man. I don't even remember. It was a lot. But the Braves, every single one of their guys got a hit.
My parlay did not hit.
Yeah, mine didn't either.
Everything about the parlay hit except Rosario did not hit a home run.
I had everything
Braves. I was right there.
Everything Braves except one hit from Jose Altuve.
And he didn't get it.
No. Went to bat 5 times, walked away empty-handed.
Mm.
He didn't have his buzzer on.
Hickman, turn me up just a touch. Just a little touch there. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think it's more in there, or it's actually probably there.
It could be that one. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, because
yeah, we usually check that. We didn't check it this morning.
What is this we thing?
Well, usually you remind me to check that.
Well, usually you're in that seat. Now you've got a new job to do, and Davey doesn't ever sit there, so we're having to, you know.
I went over before the show started.
Back me down.
I went over before the show started.
That's good.
Yeah, and I had the mic levels where they needed to be.
Before the show?
Before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get back over here, and I sit down,
mm-hmm.
and the show starts.
Yep.
And I was like, that doesn't sound right. And then I realized Hickman had changed everything.
Well, every producer has their own style back then.
Yeah, Davey.
Yeah, I know, but I realize that Houston is always louder than everyone else, so I keep mic 3 down mm-hmm. more, and mic 3 was up more than all the other mics.
Look, I was taught early on, when you're on the radio, you project, right? Like, you want to be a loud voice.
I'm not saying that's a problem.
You don't want to be on the radio talking like that.
I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just saying, whenever it comes to us recording that information...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want everyone's level or volume to be the same level.
Levels.
Yeah.
See, I had his volume right on the board to begin with, uh-huh. but the problem was that box, he's usually turned up to about 9. It was on 3.
This morning it was on 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded different.
That would do it.
When you turned it up on the box, now I got some bass in my voice. Now it sounds...
like the Houston Crest we all know and love.
Right. Yeah, the bass in my voice comes from a secret box with settings on it, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. You want to sound good on the radio. That's the bottom line. Bye week Wednesday. Basketball practice has apparently kicked off and is rolling. Josiah Jordan James spoke with the media yesterday. We'll get into some of his comments on Kennedy Chandler, Zakai Ziegler, and others. Rick Barnes also had a couple comments. Davey Vescovi, you hear about old Viva?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay, we'll get to that later as well. I saw this yesterday. Tennessee, Alabama, so far, has been the most watched college football game of the season. Initial thoughts on that?
He's healthy.
What?
What did you say again?
What did you? He's healthy. Did you say
Santee's been the most? What did you say?
Oh my God, no, dude! Like, what are you doing over there?
Zoned out.
I said Tennessee, Alabama is the most.
Oh,
dude, we're like 6 minutes into the show. You're already just not paying attention.
I was thinking about the Santee thing, about him being the most improved player, and so I was like, he must be healthy again.
Yeah, and I said, we'll get to that later. It was called a setup and a tease. And then I said, Tennessee, Alabama, the most watched college football game of the year so far, 4.7 million viewers.
Yeah, the healthy thing doesn't make sense with that.
No, at all. No. He's healthy. You know, if you said, it's healthy. Oh, yeah, it's a healthy thing to watch football. And ESPN is healthy. But no, he. Unless, Anyway, well, we're off and running today. Yesterday, it's funny. I come into these days when Nate's out. I'm a little nervous because I'm like, you know what? Which Dave am I going to get? Yesterday, I got good Dave. Dave was fine yesterday. Good Dave.
Yesterday, Dave didn't have a punishment to do.
Oh, my God. He's got to eat some saltines. What a brutal day.
It's going to be rough.
No, you'll be fine. You just got to drink, wash it down. You know, no problem. But seriously, how is Tennessee-Alabama the most watched game so far?
I realize it was on ESPN, and it started to get cold.
Is that a people are inside thing?
I'm assuming so.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, like,
is the most watched game normally on ESPN? I feel like it's normally ABC or CBS.
Yeah. How did that top the Texas A&M game?
I don't know. Because that was ESPN as well, wasn't it? Or was that the late CBS game when they did the doubleheader?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if.
Hey, man, the Power T is strong. The brand is good. The orange pops. All those things.
Do you think it had to do with a lot of people saw that game was close for 2.5, 3 quarters, and everybody switched over to it?
I do.
Hey, Tennessee might end the streak.
But even then, you would still think the A&M game would have topped that. I mean, hell, they lost that game. But no, I completely think you're 100% correct. A lot of people were just, you know, at the house, doing whatever, watching some football, their team, another team. Then all of a sudden they see Tennessee's up 14-7. Then they flipped over. Then, you know, you get into the third quarter. What was were we tied at the end of the third?
Down 7.
Yeah, we were
down 7 at the end of the third. I know they scored to start the fourth quarter, but yeah, they saw it was a close game, flipped it over. I'm still just stunned that that's the most watched game so far this year.
Which that just goes to show you how powerful, I guess, the brand would be.
That's what I said, man. Power T is strong. Dave Bartu was on the drive yesterday saying basically the same thing. Look, the T sells. Power T, good. Good brand. We'll get into some of it. You listened to that too, right, Dave?
I did.
Yeah, we'll get into some of those comments later because Dave Bartu.
Big fan of 3 and Out.
Yeah, I got your text last night about that. I didn't get that vibe, but we'll discuss it as to exactly what you meant. First, we're going to go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Matt has held for just a little bit. Matty! Morning, brother.
Oh, dude, I've been holding for like a minute and a half. That's a record.
No, it's not.
Never get to me on the first segment.
Only on a bye week, guys. Yeah, exactly. Bye week. Didn't have a lot to come into, right off the top. Had to mention the Braves getting the big win. And then that's about it. And the rest of the show is going to be just hip hop scotch around.
I made sure to hook you up, Matt.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and Adam did say in about a minute, and he was almost spot on.
Wow. That's good stuff.
That's why he continues to just impress me.
He's shooting up the power rankings?
Levels and levels and levels higher than Davey Hudson.
Wow. How did he greet you this morning?
Just with a warm smile. It's a cold morning, and I just feel all nice and snuggly inside right now.
You could feel the warm smile through the phone. That's how warm it is, folks.
Meanwhile, Davey had smoke coming out of his ears because he was mad I was being nice to our listeners.
Well,
Davey, I'm just getting, just every time I listen every morning, just more and more disgruntled with you. Can't even answer the question, not even paying attention. It's only 15 after.
That was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, literally 6 minutes into the show, I say Tennessee-Alabama, the most watched game. Any thoughts on that? Yeah, he's healthy. I mean, it's amazing.
I'll be honest with you, that was funny as hell, though.
Well, what's crazy is people probably think at this point, like, oh, they kind of set that up. It's a bit. No, 100%. Davey just doesn't pay attention.
No, that's legit. That's legit truth.
Isn't that right, Dave?
Guys.
Sure.
Pizza.
Pizza beer.
Mm.
I love Davey. All right, guys.
Matt, we didn't hear from you yesterday. You got some takeaways, man? Have you calmed down after the weekend?
I have. Okay. I think I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I don't know. What do you do, guys? What do you do? Where are we at? Where are we going? What's the plan here? What did this Bart guy say yesterday? Is he high on Tennessee?
Did you just call him Bart?
Yeah, I don't even know who the guy is. I've never heard of him. That might be bad on my part.
No, it's fine. Dave Bartu, he does I think at this point he's selling his analytical data to college teams across the country. I mean, he just runs a bunch of numbers. It's kind of like Kim Palm or
me,
FPI. Yes, Dave, the model. and he he looks at he breaks it down by quarter. So Howard teams offensively and defensively as far as efficiency, you know, quarter one, two, three, four. And apparently before the Alabama game, he said and predicted on his podcast, Tennessee's going to get an early lead. They're going to play well. And then in the fourth quarter, things will change. And if they have a big enough lead, maybe they can hang on. But odds are Bama comes storming back because apparently Tennessee's defense is one of the worst in the nation in the fourth quarter, which makes sense when you think of, you know, our lack of depth. But offensively, we are, I think, top two or maybe the number one in efficiency in the first quarter. So that's why we can, you know, come out and jump all over some teams, including Alabama, when you had a lead. But it was just fascinating.
I'll start listening to his podcast.
I don't know. Do you have to pay for his podcast?
Most of his stuff is behind a paywall.
Behind a paywall.
Oh, is it? Oh, well.
Well, you know, if we can all go in together. I mean, don't tell him that, but, you know, we just split it.
Yeah, well, I don't know, guys. Good week to have a bye week and rest up. And hey, I've said it a million times before. I don't think it's any secret. Tennessee is it's a ticking time bomb. I mean, all these people on SEC Network and ESPN, they all say the same thing: college football's better when Tennessee's better.
Mm-hmm.
And or at least the SEC is, which pretty much means college football is, because the SEC reigns supreme. Tennessee's just got to find a way to get back up there, and it'll be a good thing, because nobody cares about Texas A&M. That's why they didn't bring the ratings Tennessee did. As bad as Tennessee's been, if Tennessee were to have put together a winning season and garner some younger fan base, some younger fans, which they would quickly, I mean,
yeah,
the thing would just take off and springboard. It's just all that tradition doesn't just go away. It just kind of fades in the past. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, I realize Heupel was nobody's first choice. But if you look at what Danny White did and what he has done since he got here, he's trying, Matt. Like, he's trying to go after those younger fans. You look at the in-stadium experience, you know, maybe some people don't like all the, you know, the piped-in music. They want to hear the band more. But that, the light show, firework. I mean, he's trying to go after those younger fans. And then he hired a coach who's going to, you know, score a lot of points, have a really fun offense. That's what people want. You know, attention spans are shorter now than they've ever been. So an offense that goes up-tempo, plays fast, and scores points, that's going to keep people interested. It's all up to Heupel now, though. If he can get the recruits in here, I think he'll be, you know, at least marginally successful. Well, I don't know what his ceiling is.
That's the only thing that worries me. I've jumped on board with Heupel. I'm a big Heupel fan. I think the guy is he's an extremely smart coach. I mean, and he's going to grow. I think he's got to work on some things on timing and games and stuff. But mm-hmm. I think his play calling is freaking phenomenal. And his development in quarterbacks, I think, is going to be solid. But his recruiting is going to be – that's going to be where he's going to have to throw his you know, increase his skill set, because the guy is about as bland as name something bland. I can't even think of anything right now. But just
Milk
watching
toast?
The guy talk.
Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Watching him on TV just talk, it's like there's no energy in his I watched a little bit of the post game with Kessling, you know, his, mm-hmm. or the next day when he does his post game show, and I never really watched that, but I thought I'm gonna watch this, and it's just like he just got, and I know none of those coaches really ever do on when you're talking to Kessling, because Kessling is about as boring as, you know, one or two, but I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he brings a lot of energy. I mean, it's like if you took Lane Kiffin on one end of the spectrum, the other end of the spectrum is going
to
be...
I was just about to say that, Matt, but have you ever seen Lane in, like, a press conference setting? He's not very good. He's not very energetic. He looks like he's embarrassed to be up there.
But you know Lane's probably really energetic with kids when he's talking to them, when he's in there. And Heupel could be, too. I don't know. Heupel just seems like he's missing that it factor when it comes to... And he doesn't have to have it. I'm not saying he's got to be something he's not, because
sure.
I don't care. At the end of the day, wins matter. Some people just don't have that. Look, Fulmer didn't have it. So it's not like Fulmer was wowing folks. It's just we were putting together winning championships. That's why people were coming to play for Tennessee.
Fulmer was he was a good recruiter and really good with, you know, the parents and stuff. But I don't want to say he inherited it, but he did inherit a really good program. And once you get things rolling like that, it's just so much easier. You know, momentum begets momentum. And that's why I think if Heupel can – and I think he's got some right now. I think the NCAA stuff is still kind of hanging over everything. You know, kids want to know, if I go to Tennessee, am I going to be on a one-year bowl ban? Is it going to be done? So there's a little bit of ambiguity there.
Should we have self-banned or self-imposed this year? For
no.
The
no. I don't think
why
so.
Why not?
Because, man, like, just as Andy Staples said, just try to run the clock out on the NCAA. They're losing power over football, you know, by the day. And if this thing drags out long enough, you might get to a point where they have no power over you whatsoever. I mean, you'd hate to self-impose. Go ahead.
NCAA comes out. Oh, I'm sorry. It might just be where the NCAA comes out, though, as a last-ditch effort, just throws out, you know, throws crap against the wall against Tennessee to see if it sticks. I think that could be more detrimental than.
Then imposing the bowl game ban would have done nothing. They're not going to look at that and say, oh, they tried. No. They're just going to say, if it's going to be a last-ditch effort and they're going to want to go down swinging, a simple bowl ban is not going to be enough to sway them from doing anything.
But I just think the worst thing for this program right now is to not have answers. And we don't have any. And it's just hanging out there. And nobody knows. And that's the worst thing. Tennessee either needs to come out and put two middle fingers up to the NCAA, just like LSU did, and just say, you know what? Screw you, man. We're going to do what we want. I would either do that, or they need to come out and self-impose and say, we've taken care of this ourselves. This is what we've done. We're not going to – the NCAA is not going to tell us, I don't know, somehow answer it. Just move on with it. Because – this has been over a year, guys, over almost – how far are we into this investigation?
Yeah, coming up on a year.
A year, and we've gotten no answers. 1 year to find out if some guys got some money. I mean, it's not that hard to investigate and find out what happened behind the scenes. It doesn't take
man,
a year.
Man, they already know what happened. Like, that's like, we have answers.
Well, I think that's his point, though. Like, then what are we waiting on? Like, at this point, if they've uncovered everything, what – are we just waiting on the NCAA to make their ruling?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are they still investigating? We're still paying attorneys by the month. So, but I think that's Matt's point. It's like, we don't have any answers, and why? I mean, I know, look, it's the NCAA. They work on their own timeline, but it has been a year. And Matt, to your point, it's kind of weird because we started out just, we're going to do whatever you want, NCAA, anything and everything. It'd be really weird now to kind of, you know, turn that completely around, put the double birds up. You kind of have to go one or the other from the start. I don't know if you can switch midstreams like that. Then the NCAA would probably look at it and say, wait, you were helping us and now you're not? You're going to defy us? Yeah, then you probably would get hammered.
That's a good point. I do hate the fact that we just cowered into them, you know, in the beginning, but we'll see. Well,
yeah, the end result will tell me, right? Like, if we get through this and, you know, it's a one-year bowl ban or not a bowl ban and a couple of scholarships, it's like, oh, moment, hell, maybe it worked out. But if you go through all this and you do everything the NCAA wants, and then, you know, at the end of it, they hammer, you know, obviously, you know, Pruitt's going to get a show cause, Niedermeyer's going to get a show cause, but if they come at the university and say, you know, 5 years of scholarship restrictions and a three-year bowl ban, then what the hell was the point of helping them out? I'd lose it. I'd absolutely lose my mind.
Well, hey, real quick, on the way out the door, and I'll hang up and listen, you guys, because you guys will probably know. Does if we get a bowl ban, or if they do that, does it impact an SEC championship or a playoff bid?
Yeah.
See you, fellas.
Yeah, it does. Was it Missouri a couple years back when they were going to win the East, or potentially going to win the East, and it was, or maybe it was. I thought it was Missouri, but the whole, or maybe it was Ole Miss when they were in contention, but it was, the whole thing was, if they won their division, they still wouldn't be able to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, I can't remember because it ultimately didn't come to fruition.
Ole Miss sounds correct, though.
Did they have a good year under Matt Luke? One good year?
One.
Right after Freeze, maybe?
I think it was maybe just to get to 6 wins. I don't know.
There was something with Atlanta, though.
I don't know.
I thought it was Missouri, and it was, the whole thing was... Yeah, because Missouri appealed, and then it got upheld anyway. I don't think they won the division. But the whole thing was, if we win the division, can we go to Atlanta? And the answer was no. At least I thought that's what it was. I'll look that up. Take a quick break. I'll look that up.
Also, on the note of the most watched game, that I think like A&M almost had like double what we did.
Yeah, I saw the graphic. It had to be ESPN's most watched game.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because that's... That was my first question was, doesn't ABC or CBS always have the most watched game? Because it's, you know.
I think they said cable.
Okay. So a channel you don't automatically get, basically. Yeah, that makes sense. Nice.
Because I was about to say, A&M's a cult, man. Those people care.
Did you see their Halloween march thing that they're doing? Did you see that last night? They painted their face, wore pumpkin masks, and had torches. It was creepy.
I know they've not been in the SEC long. I think they're the most dedicated fan base there is.
Dedicated is a word that you could use. I don't think it's the right one. Do you see that? It's weird. It's weird. It's a cult. Dedicated sounds good. Like, I'm a dedicated Tennessee fan. Oh, that's nice. This is something completely different. It's like they enjoy the cult of the...
That's more than anything else for any other SEC team.
Yeah, right here. This. And this is not even close to everything that they do. Like, the yell meetings and all the pep rallies. It's just creepy. More after this.
From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom of the vampire.
This has to be on the list of one-hit wonders, right? I mean, I realize it's a seasonal song, but has anyone just popped out a must-hear-it-every-holiday song and then peaced out?
No. This is the best Halloween song there is, though.
I like Ghostbusters better.
Yeah, that was written for a movie, though. So I'm not going to give it as much credit. Who even did the Monster Mash?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess if it's just one person, yeah. But I mean, like, there are some Christmas songs that I wouldn't call them one-hit wonders.
Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers.
What year did that come out? Like 63 or something?
62. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
Wow.
Good for him. Hope his fan. Oh, did you just cut out like that? Oh,
yeah.
Come on, you got to stay on that.
No, that was the final second.
Yeah, no, you fade it gradually to where it doesn't just cut.
You'll learn. That's okay.
Yeah, one of the biggest things.
I thought I had more time.
Some of those songs in there do not fade automatically. The ones I put in, they fade automatically.
Here.
I do it for the producers. What?
Well, I was just thinking, there's some songs that were in there for the three and out stuff before I got here that I thought were yours, but I guess they don't fade out, so like...
What, me?
Like Little Talks.
That one doesn't fade out?
No.
I might have put that one in.
Yeah.
Maybe that was... Or maybe Nate did. He loves that song.
That's a great song.
It is a good song.
But what I was going to say, Hickman, is if you're ever DJing for an event, one of the worst things that can happen is if the music just suddenly stops. If you fade it out, you're going to be fine. People can understand that, but there's nothing worse than someone out there on the dance floor, and then all of a sudden...
The record scratches, and he's just still moving a little bit. Yeah. Very awkward.
I DJed a wedding one time.
And then you just get booed.
I can handle it.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's not the issue. Like, I feel like, yeah, I can take the criticism. Like, you're pretty good at that. But it's more for the guest.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking of the other people, not just yourself. In this moment,
it's kind of shocking that I'm good at taking criticism.
Since when do you think of anyone but yourself?
I'm not.
You giving advice on thinking of other people is pretty rich.
Okay, that's fine. You can call me a hypocrite, whatever. I understand what most people want. That doesn't mean I necessarily abide by those same rules.
That does make you a hypocrite.
Yeah.
By the exact definition of hypocrite.
I don't care.
That is it. Well done. Well done indeed. Dave, your boy. In line for the USC job, allegedly.
Jeff Fisher. that's not going to happen.
Does he even want to coach again? I mean, his name is thrown around with every college job that opens up. Remember, he was tweeting about the Tennessee job when it was open. Now he's USC.
He's coaching in Nashville right now.
Is he really?
I mean, he's on like Eddie George's staff at TSU.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Good. Good for him. That's kind of weird, right? Like Eddie George gets the gig, Jeff Fisher, who coached him, is like defensive analyst or something.
Yeah, I mean, I know he played at USC, mm-hmm. was a safety there. He's not going back to coaching college.
You don't think so? No, it seems like he wants to.
They're throwing every name. He tries to tie himself. He just likes to stay relevant. I can't say that I blame him. But he tries to tie himself to all these jobs. Mike Tomlin was also there. Mike Tomlin came out and said, there's not a blank check that a booster can put forth that's going to make me want to go coach college.
What job was he tied to? Was that USC also?
USC, yeah.
Jeez, Mike.
And he basically
what the
said,
hell? Like it's,
he said, like, that's a joke to me. And
okay, what happens when he gets fired? Is he going to just poo-poo all over the college game again?
No, he'll get another NFL job.
No, like, you're probably right.
It's not been well, but like, I don't like the Steelers organization, but I got to give them credit, man. They know how to
pick a coach and they stick with them.
I feel like they've had three coaches for the entire tenure of their program as a whole. But
I mean, yeah, Cowher was there forever, and Tomlin's been there. What is this, like his 14th season or something?
I mean, he came in right after Cowher would have retired, yeah. What, in 08?
So 13th season, give or take? No, you're right, though. They pick a guy and they roll with it. It's fairly impressive.
But, yeah, Jeff's got some other things in the works that aren't necessarily coaching that I think he's probably going to try to stick with.
Like what?
That's all I can say.
What? Oh, man, this is radio. You can't tease something
I'm
like
sorry.
That.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm at liberty to
Is it
to
sports related?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like he's running for office or something.
That's what I was asking. You were so vague. I have to dig a little bit. I got 20 questions
I'll
here.
Leave it at the sports.
Is he getting a reality TV show like Terry Bradshaw?
When did Terry get that show? Because I realize now that the company, my other company I work for, like they were the ones that produced that.
I think it's been like, what, 2 years?
Terry, I don't know. I think it's been longer than that.
I've just now seen the advertisements, though, in like
Unless
the last year.
Unless this is
year.
Something else. I'll look that up.
My mom hangs out with him sometimes.
Terry Bradshaw?
Yep. He does quarter horses.
Mm.
Shows him all that stuff.
Yeah, 2020.
This is something else, then. Because this is what I'm thinking of spans.
What's the show?
When.
The Bradshaw Bunch.
Wow, it's really original.
It's just about him, his daughters, his wife.
Their horses.
It's got a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
I didn't know IMDb rated TV shows. 5.8, it's not very good. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, but it's not, you know, not overly great.
Real quick, the Steelers have had three coaches since 1969.
I actually thought it was three, but I couldn't remember when the date started.
I was trying to think of when Noel started, but yeah. Noel, Cowher, Tomlin, 07, not 08. I was close.
14 years. I nailed that one, accidentally. Oh, impressive.
Now I gotta
anything else on the Steelers organization you want to throw into this segment?
No, I got to figure out what that Terry Bradshaw show was, though. It's not the one that Hickman was referring to.
So it's not the Bradshaw Bunch?
No.
Okay, good. Good to know. Are we excited about basketball? I feel like the bye week's a good time to start to think forward a little bit. Practice underway. Lenore Ryan. Scrimmage exhibition? Is it an exhibition or a scrimmage this week? It's not an exhibition. Like, it won't go on the schedule,
right? We
only
have one exhibition game.
And this isn't it, no. Right? So this is just a scrimmage, basically. That's open to the public.
Yeah, I guess so.
For $5.
I guess that's how they're going to classify it. Did I start the podcast? Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah, good job, Dave. Did we hear anything about did you hear anything about the Davidson scrimmage? Other than what that guy put on Twitter that immediately got debunked by Sikoviak?
The only thing I heard was we did win by like double digits.
Okay, so that's really all I cared about. Yeah. So as long as you heard that we won, I'm fairly satisfied there. Is Davidson any good? Do we know? Do we scrimmage them every year? I feel like we always scrimmage Davidson.
Yeah, I mean,
we scrimmage
Barnes
Clemson,
has his North Carolina teams
and Clemson. We scrimmage Clemson, I think 2 years in a row, year before last, and then the year before that. And now he's going back to Lenore Ryan. Is that the alma mater? Right, that's where he. Isn't that where he graduated?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
The only thing I know about Davidson, they actually had a guy transfer out who is Daniel Jones's brother. And he's transferred to Duke, but he was at Davidson last year. His name's Bates. Bates Jones.
Bates Jones?
Yeah.
I think I like it.
Super white, but yeah.
Well, it's Duke. So yeah, you gotta have those super white guys if you're gonna field the perfect Blue Devil team. Is he hateable? Does he have that face? Does he have that Christian Laettner? I actually like J.J. Redick. He had the face, but he was a pretty nice guy. And then who's my boy, Trippy McTripperson?
Grayson McGowan.
Grayson, yeah.
Starting for the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
Grayson who?
Grayson Allen.
You said McAllen.
No, I didn't.
Someone else heard that. You said Grayson McAllen.
I know it's Grayson Allen. Here's Bates Jones. I pulled that up. Does that look like a hateable face to you?
Nah, it looks like just a good dude. How tall is he?
6'8".
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So he got the height, and Daniel got the arm, I suppose, and the hands. I mean, that catch this weekend, highest rated.
That must be Daniel Jones's brother.
Yes, that was actually. I'm really glad you guys are paying such close attention today to the show. Yeah, that's kind of where it started.
He's a Davidson transfer.
You're kidding? Like, this is a bit, right? There's no way both of you could be this tuned in this morning. There's just no way.
All I heard was Bates Jones has a lovable face and looks like a good dude.
So. You heard that. That was after Davey said he's a transfer from Davidson, and he's Daniel Jones' brother.
So I Googled Bates Jones, and this goofy-looking guy in a Duke jersey popped up. And right beside was a picture of him in a Davidson jersey as well.
You basically are saying everything that Davey already said. What were you even doing back there? You know, no one called. Were you setting up the break or something? Yeah, I mean, you are tuned out.
Oh, no, the break's already set up.
Wow. Are both of the speakers and the headphones working, or you just got one?
No, just one.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. You know, you got to have the full stereo sound to make sure you hear everything on the show.
It's been the one, but he's got to be deaf in that ear.
Yeah, because only one speaker works, and he's deaf in the ear that it works for.
It's really weird because he thinks since it only works in one ear, he has to turn it up to the point where it pretty much just drowns everything out. So
right.
It's so loud, I'm surprised he hears anything.
So Bates Jones is Daniel Jones' brother?
Yes.
And where did he come from?
Hickman, you want to do the honors?
Davidson
transfer. There you go. We'll take a quick break. Come back on the other side. Jeez, Hickman, what are you doing? Hello, my friend. Meet again. It's been a while. Where should we begin? Final segment, hour number one, 3 and Out in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio. So... I'm so confused.
In regards to?
Well, the schedule on ESPN shows UT Martin on November 9th as our first game, but this matchup against Lenoir Ryan is an exhibition but doesn't show up on the schedule, so I'm just confused as to what this exactly is. Apparently on utsports.com, you know, they have it listed kind of officially this Saturday, 3 p.m., it'll be on SEC Network Plus, so you can stream it if you want. Got that going for you. Tickets as low as $5, I think. Maybe it's free. Who really knows? We excited about basketball?
Oh, yeah.
I just read an article during the break. Let's see. Who posted this? Who posted this garbage? Had Tennessee as the seventh best roster in the SEC.
Who they have better, Kentucky, Arkansas?
Robbie Weinstein posted this article. Number one, I guess this is just talent rankings and projected lineups. I'm not really sure. Number one, Kentucky, even though they failed to win 10 games last year. They always are going to be talented. Number two, Arkansas.
I get that one.
Three, Alabama. Get that. Didn't they get a bunch of transfers this year, too? Bama should be pretty good. I know they lost a lot, but they should be. That should be pretty good. Mississippi State, number four.
Every year it seems like there's a couple of guys on Mississippi State's roster that are legit great basketball players, but I'm never going to lose sleep over having to play Mississippi State in basketball.
Florida at five.
No, that's crap.
Auburn at six. And Tennessee comes in at seven. Weinstein does say that Tennessee may have the best next five in the country. So I guess he's not overly high on the starters, but apparently he likes our
the
bench.
Depth.
Yeah. Says, quote, "This might be the best group of reserves in the entire country. Huntley Hatfield could find himself starting sooner rather than later." The projected starting lineup, Kennedy Chandler, Viscovi at two.
I like that.
Josiah Jordan-James at the three. Olivier Kumwa at the four. And John Fulkerson at the five. Now, they had Steve Hamer on the drive last week, and he actually said he would expect that to be flipped, where they'd play Kumwa at the five and Fulkerson at the four.
Okay, if you're showing that to me, and I am, was it, did you say Weinstein?
Robbie Weinstein.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at our bigs and saying that Fulkerson and Kumwa are starting.
Mm-hmm.
I could possibly see why he's lower on them. I wouldn't have them that far down.
Does that has to just be an experience thing, right? Because we all think Adu and Huntley Hatfield are going to be really good players. It's just something they got to kind of gain some experience and figure it out.
I don't know how high I am on Fridu this year, but I think eventually he'll turn into a really good player. I think Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I mean, should be starting whenever it's all said and done, based off his pure talent. Now, can he?
He does say
together?
He could find himself starting sooner rather than later.
I did hear you say that, but yeah, I mean, I'm kind of at that mindset to where I think just based off pure athleticism and what I've seen from that kid on tape. Granted, I know it's a whole thing of putting it together once you actually get to college, but I mean, dude's a top 20 player in the country.
My initial reaction to seeing Kumwa in the starting lineup is not a great one, just because we haven't really seen it from him.
Well, he's never been able to put it together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's had a couple of games. I feel like maybe it was an Arkansas game last year where he came off the bench and had, you know, kind of 10 quick points. I feel like he does have the potential. He's got, you know, he's a big guy, good body.
Yeah.
He actually shot it a lot in high school. I just remember breaking down the tape when we could not get his name right.
You can tell when you watch the guy play.
Kamhua, is that what we said? Kamhua? Yeah, Kamhua.
He's got baby Grant Williams written all over him. Like, when I look at him,
isn't he bigger than Grant, though?
He's bigger.
He's taller, at least, right?
When I say baby, I think of freshman, sophomore Grant Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Williams before he was Grant Williams. So freshman year, because he was a stud his sophomore year. Maybe it's just taken a little bit longer with Kumwa to get to that point, but he's got all the tools there.
I mean, based off numbers, Tennessee's the best team in the SEC right now. Like, going into,
what do you mean based off numbers?
So if you,
I know, like, KenPom projects us to win the SEC. Is that what you mean? Like,
yeah, well, KenPom, the Bartovic guy. I mean, he's up there when you're talking about adjusted offensive and defensive efficiencies. Mm-hmm. Like, Tennessee is better than the other teams whenever you try to take all that into account. Now, I know from a pure talent standpoint, Kentucky's got a better roster from that standpoint, but.
Yeah, based on just pure talent. Yeah. A lot of guys, though, that haven't played together, and a lot of guys that we haven't even seen. I guess, in a way, it's good that we're going to be starting guys with experience. Again, I know Kumwa's not, I mean, what says here, he averaged 2.3 points per game last year. If he's picked it up offensively, again, with him, Hickman, you said it, he's got all the tools. For him, it's I think it's just a mentality.
Oh,
he
yeah.
gets out there and he doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. He didn't play aggressive enough at times. When you're that big and strong, man, you got to kind of be a bully out there.
You're always told as a basketball player to not overthink it, just go,
yeah.
go with the flow of the game. And at times when you watch him play, you really can see the look on his face of, oh, he's trying to decipher this. He's trying to think his next move
mm-hmm.
instead of just making a move.
Right.
And that's his biggest issue.
I do think that whenever it comes to winning the regular season for the SEC, like, it is going to be close. Like, you look at a lot of,
I think it's
going to
be
schedules,
close, and I think it's going to be like four or five teams.
Oh, yeah, there's like five teams I think you're going to expect to be around like 22-8 or 21-9, like somewhere like right in that range.
Yeah. I think
I mean, I know that's like the full season schedule, but just.
Yeah, like what conference record will it take to probably win it? You think, first of all, I could absolutely see a two- or three-way split this year. But I just think there's a lot of really good teams. Like, would five conference losses probably get you? Like, is anyone going to lose less than five in conference? This league is pretty good in the top half. And even then, you know, teams like Vanderbilt, I know they've, you know, not been very good, but they've got a pretty talented roster. That's a team that kind of sneak up and beat you.
I'm just kind of looking.
What do you think, 11-5?
Going back to last
Is it
year.
16, right?
Yeah,
16?
It's still 16. No, it's 18.
18?
Yeah, it's 18. Because, yeah.
So 13-5?
Bama was 16-2 last year in the conference.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but Kentucky was down. We weren't as good as we were expected to be.
I think 14-4.
Someone go 14-4?
Yeah.
Do you have a prediction? Do you have a team that you think it's going to be Bama again? I feel like they lost a lot,
no,
man.
No, I don't think it'll be Bama this year. I think Arkansas is honestly going to win it. I really am high on old Musselman.
So Bama lost Petty, and then who was
Herb Jones.
Jones,
they lost
Jones,
but they had that other kid. I can't even remember his name.
Quinterly?
Quinterly's
back.
I was baffled that the kid went in the first round of the draft by the Spurs. I can't even think of the guy's name. But I was just
I can't
like,
either, but
I was like, why is this guy getting drafted here? And at the end of the day, I think most people said that was the worst pick of the first round.
Really?
Yeah. It was just such a reach.
Primo.
Primo, yeah. I mean, I feel like Bama, Arkansas, Tennessee, I guess Kentucky just because they're so talented, right? I mean, if somehow they can figure it out and put it together. Davey, you've mentioned this a lot, and I think it's a really good point. Last year, a lot of those teams that were relying on so many freshmen never really got it going. And if some of them did, it was later. Like Duke kind of started to pick it up a little bit late. Then obviously the ACC tournament gets canceled. They got, you know, COVID tests or whatever. But with a full off season, full summer, I haven't heard, certainly not from Tennessee, I haven't heard much on really any SEC team as far as guys missing summer workouts or anything with COVID tests. You haven't heard of an outbreak or anything like that in the SEC, whereas last summer it felt like every team had, you know, some kind of issue. But practice is underway. A little surprised, though. Seventh best roster?
Do you know Alabama plays at Memphis in basketball this year?
When?
December the 14th.
When do we play Memphis? Is it right after that?
January, right?
No,
it's December.
December.
It's in Nashville, I'm trying to think.
That'll be a hot ticket.
Yeah. Safe to say.
They also have Gonzaga.
Bama does?
Mm-hmm. It's December the 4th. I was in Seattle.
This conference has done an amazing 180 in basketball in the last, what would you say, six, seven years or so? I mean, from three teams getting in the tournament to, I mean, I'm trying to think what they have a couple years ago. Was it nine? Nine teams in the NCAA? Might have been more than that. And just the coaches in this league now. I mean, I used to not even be able to tell you who was coaching it, you know, Mississippi State or, well, Missouri, just because they had some trouble. But now you look at all these coaches. I mean, it's a great list.
Yeah, we went from Kentucky and Florida predominantly to Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, Auburn, Alabama. I mean, Texas A&M, people are really predicting them to have a good year this year if they can finally piece it together over there.
I really like Buzz Williams.
I do, too. Great dude.
Less than a month away, though, is when the Vols are really going to get things rolling, starting off with Villanova in the Hall of Fame tip-off tournament November 20th.
Where's that one?
It's somewhere in Connecticut.
Okay. Really?
Yonkersville.
I'm sorry?
Yonkersville. I don't know. I'm not very
familiar. Yonkersville? Is that where the game's being played?
UNCASVILLE.
I've never heard of this.
Yonkersville, Connecticut. I guess so. And
they got a big arena there or something?
I don't know. I guess. And then the next day we'll either play North Carolina or Purdue.
We'll go over some of the stuff Rick Barnes and some of the players said yesterday at their media session. Seems like a pretty tight-knit group. Basketball's almost here.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.